To our friends who speak Spanish, hola, buenos días. Todos ustedes son bienvenidos aquí. Amen. Gloria a Dios. Before we go any further, it's already gotten somewhat heavy. Before we go any further, I would just love to invite us to have a few moments of quiet. A few moments of silence, and in that silence, whether you are using words to speak back to God, what's on your heart, use that time for that, or whether you just sit and listen to the voice of God. Sit in the silence, listen for the silence, reminding you that God is nearer to you than even your breath is to yourself. So I would just invite all of us to a few moments of quiet before we continue with noise. Thank you, Jesus, that you are near to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that by faith you are living within us, and that no matter what, you are all around us. We ask that you would guide us today, that you would help us to hear from you, to be convicted by you, to be comforted by you. And it's in your name we pray, Jesus, all these things. Amen. God creates beauty out of chaos. You've heard me say that all year long, and I think we need to hear it every single week. Yet, this is not a solo endeavor on his part. He invites us into this mission of creating beauty alongside of him, to partner with him. And over the last few weeks, we have recognized and realized that one of the ways we can partner with God is actually through our work. Yes, our everyday, ordinary work that you may or may not get paid for. Whether it's your paid job, whether it's your retirement project, whether it's raising children, or whether it's volunteering in the community, your work partners with God to bring beauty to the world. We've said it over and over for the last couple weeks. We need you. We need you. We need you to work and bring beauty to the world in the ways that God has gifted you, in the limits that God has gifted you. The world needs you. And yet, if we are going to partner with God, to work alongside of him in this mission that he is on in the world, if we are going to do that, working is only part of the equation. Even though God created all things and he continually holds all things together, God does not show us a model of constant, incessant, never-ending work that we often find ourselves in. What do I mean by this? If you have your Bible with you, please open to Genesis chapter 2. If not, it will be up on the screen as well. Genesis chapter 2, we will start right at the beginning of this in verse 1. Listen here. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. So God had just finished the creation project. He had just finished his work of creation. In verse 2, by the seventh day, God finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from the work of creating that he had done. After God created the universe, He rests. After God created the universe, he took a day off, which means we see this in the fabric of creation. We see that woven into the fabric of the world, God created a rhythm of work and rest. All of life needs this rhythm. We see this in the rhythm of the trees. We are in the middle of fall. Every year, the leaves fall off the trees. The trees enter into their dormant period. But are the trees dead? No. They look like it, but they aren't dead. They're dormant. Actually, they are storing energy. For the upcoming season, they are recovering from the following season, storing up energy for the upcoming season. This pattern that we see in nature is actually everywhere. We even see it in the byproducts of our material world. I love to run. And as I run throughout the year, my shoes start to wear out. The shoes that I wear, you know, probably I tend to like sneakers. You're always looking at what sneakers that I probably have on and wondering, how are they so white? Does he do anything? Well, I do like to run, and every year I put quite a few miles on my running shoes. We're getting near the end of the year. We're in October, which means by the end of this year, I need a new pair of shoes. The soles on the shoes that I am currently running with are thinning out. They had ground down our entire road, and so I could feel almost every rock that I was running on. So I've been looking at saving up for new shoes. And I've also been told that the wise thing to do if you are to buy running shoes is actually to buy two of the same pair. Take two of the same pair and rotate them every other time that you run. Because if you rotate your shoes every other time that you run, it actually extends the life of the shoe for so much longer. It extends the life of the shoe exponentially. I am curious about things. I like to look if things are actually true or if they're just urban myths. And so I decided to look into this a little bit. And what I did find, I just wanted to share with you because I did think it was fascinating. From Princeton, the College of Sports Medicine, in their article, The Science Behind Shoe Rotation. So someone else thought this was important enough. Wow, the lights are flickering a little bit on us today. That's all right. That's all right. Just a reminder that the Holy Spirit is here. What I found, though, in this, as someone else is doing studies on this, that one of the benefits of giving your shoe a rest is, in fact, enhanced longevity. Allowing cushioning foams to recover extends the lifespan of each pair, reducing the need for frequent replacements. Princeton College of Sports Medicine. Even shoes need rest. Even shoes need rest. This just shows us how true and pervasive our principle is today. Woven into the fabric of the world, God created a rhythm of work and rest. So then let me ask you, let me ask me, if trees and shoes need rest, then who are we to think that we can escape that? Who are we to think that we can escape this need for rest? And I think in 2025 America, I think we are constantly being formed to try to escape rest. Everything is coming at you now in a 24-hour cycle somehow. Work is trying to come at you in a 24-hour cycle. News is trying to come at you in a 24-hour cycle. people want access to you in a 24-hour cycle, seemingly. We have access to our phones and the internet all the time. We have access to worldwide news 24/7 so you can know what's going on across the world. And there's benefits to this. But you can know in a way that was never experienced in human history before. We have access to people 24/7, or seemingly people have access to you. Do you have inbox fatigue? Like, how many inboxes do you have in your life? Count them up and imagine just how often people can get to you and they expect you to get back to them as soon as they want you to get back to them. Are you tired of that? This includes our jobs, our bosses, our clients. Our world wants instant results now. Our companies want instant results now, even if it's 7 p.m. on a Friday. Here's the thing, our souls are constantly being formed to be on. Our souls are being formed all around us to constantly be on. And just to be clear, when I say our souls, I mean the way that the Bible talks about our souls. Your soul is not just this disembodied part of you that floats to heaven one day. Your souls are the entirety. The ancient Hebrews, their word for this is nephesh, and we say it's souls, but their idea of this is it was all of life. Your mind, your emotions, your physical bodies, your spiritual nature. Our souls are being formed to constantly be on. Do you feel like every piece of you has to be on all the time? And our pace of life is training us to this. Constantly producing. Constantly moving. Constantly taking information in. Constantly trying to push information out. And let me just ask you this. Gently. Realistically. For you. Today. How is that going for you? Are you tired? Are you weary? Are you burnt out? Do you long just to like go in the woods and have no cell service? So people can't pull at your time or your attention? Or maybe you've got small kids in the house and you just need a moment without someone jumping on you. But here's the thing. This is probably because our pace goes against our very limits of humanity. Our human nature, our created beings, the pace that we are living with goes against the very limits of our humanity. We were not designed to run like this, to move like this. It is why God even doesn't just leave it in the created order, but then pushes it further into the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, I want to jump to there today. We'll look at the second showing of the Ten Commandments next week, just so you know. Exodus 20, verse 8, listen to what God says. The Ten Commandments, these like most important documents that we imagine and think about. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord. On it you shall not do any work, neither you. Listen to this. This is so fascinating. It goes from individual project to the entire community. Neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals. Like, this is how pervasive this is into our context, how woven into the fabric of creation this is. Nor your animals. Nor any foreigner residing in your town. which means there were foreigners residing in their towns. Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. He rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. There are two times that the Ten Commandments are given to us in the scripture, Exodus chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 25. And we will talk about the second one next week. But this one here uses a completely different rationale for keeping the Sabbath. Both commandments give two different rationales for keeping the Sabbath, which is interesting because almost the entirety of the Ten Commandments is exactly the same in both readings. Yet, this is different in both section. So there's things that we can learn from each. We'll learn more next week about what we can learn in Deuteronomy. But from today, what we see here is that we are encouraged to remember the Sabbath. Almost like it's just natural for us to easily forget. Almost like it's natural for us to get caught up in producing. Almost like it's natural for us never to slow down, never to stop, never to rest. Why remember? Because we so easily forget that woven into the fabric of the world, there is a rhythm of work and rest, which is exactly where Exodus takes this concept. Verse 11, why remember the Sabbath? For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the Sabbath day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. God is so serious about this created rhythm that he even operates within this created rhythm. The foundation for the fourth commandment in Exodus is nothing other than the fact that God himself participated in this rhythm. God himself rested as part of the created order. So that means we could say it simply like this. Ready for this? If God rested, then we better rest too. If God rested, then we better rest too. But you might say, I always love to what would we challenge this with? What's the questions that we're actually holding here? But you might say, well, God is all powerful. He can make something happen in an instant. I can't. My to-do list is too long. I'm not all powerful. I can't get all the way through it. And so, sure, God can do that, but I've got to keep going. God can rest, but I have to keep going. Oh, yeah, I get it, really. I feel like, for me personally, on any given week, I am operating at 99.8% of what my capacity is. If any little thing goes awry, it feels like I just stepped off of a tightrope and there's so much else that now has been affected. Ask me how that goes with an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old in the house. But what we are really saying, if God himself rested and we can't, probably is more like, well, my work is more important than God's work of creating and holding the world together. If God can rest, but I can't, that really is saying, well, then my work is more important than creating the world and holding it together. So we take that a little further. What that actually means is what we are saying is that we are more important than God. What we are saying is that our worlds will fail to revolve if we stop to rest. Your world will fail to revolve if you stop to rest. That's what we're saying, if we don't stop, because God himself did stop That's way too much pressure to have on a human. That's way too much pressure. Do you feel that? Do you hold that? That's way too much. Way too much pressure. God doesn't want that for us. That's why he's given us this beautiful rhythm. He doesn't want you to hold that where you feel like you have to just hold everything together. And God has baked this into our created rhythm to say, yes, please take this time away from producing. Because resting reminds us that we are not God. Resting actually reminds you, I am not God, and I can't hold the things that God holds. Yet, I get it. We have a tendency to get caught up in our own self-importance. We have a tendency to forget that our place in the world is not as a God. Our place in the world is a human. Human. We are not machines. We are not God. We are meant to enjoy what God has given us. I like what Ruth Haley Barton says about this. She says, when we practice ceasing in the way that God intends, we touch the very ground of our being. We experience ourselves to be creatures in the presence of our Creator, beloved children who are cared for and loved as human beings, rather than, you've probably heard the phrase before, rather than human doings. Human beings rather than human doings. And I believe this is actually why God created Adam and Eve on day 6 of creation. And then, what does he do on day 7? The very first day after God created Adam and Eve, what is the very first thing that he invites them into doing? You know the answer right now. He invited them to rest as the first act. They hadn't done anything yet. There's not a chance they could have been tired. But the first thing he does is he invites them to rest with him. So I just think we need to hear this. The first thing humanity does is rest. Why? Maybe you're hearing pieces of this already, but because resting is actually a practice of good news. Resting is a practice of living out the gospel in our lives, in our hearts. God does not want us to fall into the trap of believing that we have to earn our rest. He does not want us to be formed into believing that we have to earn our love. The gospel is freely given to us, and the good news is that he gives us even something so practical to believe this, because we're just constantly formed to believe we've got to earn our rest. Right? What's the song? Working for the weekend, right? It's backwards. Weekend for the work. We start with the weekend. We start with the rest. But this is so foreign to us in 2025 America. Could you imagine being hired for a job and them looking at you and say, the first thing we want you to do is take a sabbatical, to take some time off. Let's talk about your time off first. What? That seems so strange. Which is why I think many of us look at this concept and we don't even have a category to put this in. I think most of us are just sitting here thinking, great, this is one more thing I have to do that I'm not doing enough. One more thing to find out that, yep, I'm doing the wrong thing here. I don't measure up. How in the world could I even find some time to rest? How can I live in God's created work and rest rhythm? All right, well, I'm glad you asked. How can we do this? How can we live with God's created work and rest rhythm? Well, I hate to give a really simple, easy answer, but I actually want to start with a really simple, easy answer, and then I want to like wrestle with it in front of you, if that's okay. How can we live in the rhythm of God's created order of work and rest, in this beautiful rhythm? The answer is pretty clearly by taking a Sabbath. And what is a Sabbath? So we now need to at least define this. Sabbath is a 24-hour period where we rest from producing to enjoy God and his good gifts. This is what God created. This is what God modeled. And it's the command that he gives to us in Exodus, the command he will give to us next week in Deuteronomy. And again, it's all in the created order. Verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. How do we live in this rhythm? By practicing Sabbath. Work for 6 days. All of your work. Your paid work, your non-paid work, the day before the Sabbath was considered the day of preparation. They would have to, you got to prepare. You got to prepare to take things off because there's still stuff that needs to be done. And so they would have this day of preparation so that they could just stop. And they would stop and delight in God and God's good gifts. Seems simple enough, yet my family and I have been attempting to do this since 2018. So I feel like for the last 7 years, we have been trying to figure out what it looks like for us to take a Sabbath every single day. Not every day. Wow, goodness. Wouldn't that be great? No, every single week. Every single week, excuse me. Just to be clear, you're like, pastors really only do work on Sundays, don't they? Oh, goodness. Yep. We've been trying to do this, and in some seasons, it has been easy for us to take a day off. We would look forward to our Sabbath day. It would be one of our favorite days of the week, one day per week. And usually for us, we have to figure out, it's actually changed days, different days. Because Sunday is a pretty intense work day for me, we can't do ours on Sunday. Many people can. But we would often take ours on Friday or Saturday. For us currently, it's Friday night into Saturday because Saturday is the one day that we all have off in common, kind of. So some days, it's some weeks and seasons, it has been really exciting and good for us. But there are other times it's been incredibly tough for us to keep a Sabbath. In seasons of deep grief, I will just say it is incredibly hard to slow down and rest. Because slowing down and resting just reminds you of how difficult life is, how hard life is, and it just brings up all the stuff. And so sometimes you need to keep a little busy just to keep getting through. And so I would just encourage you, if you're in a season of deep grief and it's really hard to slow down and rest, I would just encourage you not to shame that part of your struggle. Keep trying what you can. Keep offering what you can. There are other seasons in life that the season that we are currently in, which makes it incredibly difficult to take a Sabbath, is the season of youth sports. Both of my kids play soccer, and somehow, I don't know how, soccer is like all year long, and at minimum, it takes half the day on Saturday, and at maximum, it takes the entire weekend. Sometimes it is difficult for us, and we've had to reframe what that day looks like. Part of what I enjoy doing on a typical day of Sabbath for me is watching sports somehow. It's good for me. It's kind of like an outlet, some competitive nature that I like to watch. So I've had to reframe that in this season. Sure, I might be driving and sitting somewhere for a while, but I'm watching my kids play sports instead of professionals. I tell you what, the quality of soccer has plummeted, but it is way, way, way more fulfilling to sit there and watch my kids, to see them enjoy the gifts that God has given to them and the beauty that they get to see and the friends that they are creating. My point in sharing these two types of seasons that we've been in is just to let you know that while it is God's design for us to take a Sabbath, it's also not easy. It's not easy to do so. It's not easy to slow down. And my point in sharing my personal struggle with this is just to, whatever your struggle is, to invite you to try. To invite you to try in some way in your typical week. And so I'll put the bar high. In a typical week, to create a rhythm where you put aside up to, and that's where we can put the bar down a little. It's a reality for you if we need. Create a rhythm where you set aside up to a continuous, not just blocks of time, but a continuous 24 hours where you are setting aside your typical work production. I say up to 24 hours because some of you can't do 24 hours right now. And I would just invite you to start somewhere. Maybe you're in college and you have to both work and do homework, and your life is so busy with both of those. I would encourage you to find a block of time, whether it's 3 hours on a Sunday, whether it's 4 hours on a Tuesday after class. I don't know what it is, but I invite you to try to offer something, knowing that someday when you have more space to do that, you could offer more of that time. Maybe you're struggling financially and you're working two jobs. I'd invite you just to try to offer at least what you can. Maybe you are caretaking for an elderly parent. So you work all week, and then you go, and then you have to care and work for them in all of your spare time. The point being, just whatever your situation might be, I'd invite you to try to give some allotted time where you can rest every single week. Try. Just invite you to try. Because I wonder if you actually start to try to set aside your production, if you start to experience good news in your life. Good news that you recognize, I don't have to earn love. I don't have to earn the rest of God. I don't have to work for any of it. It is good news that God loves me, that Jesus cares for me, and his grace is freely given to us. Sabbath is a real life, very real practice to remind us of this. Now, there is a lot of teaching out there on Sabbath currently in the modern world and modern church, and I really like that there's a lot of teachings on Sabbath, but I would just invite you to be cautious. Because some of the teachings are leading to a new version of legalism. A new version where you can't do this, you can't do that, and it has to be exactly 24 hours long, and you have to have a meal involved in it, and you have to do this. And while all of those could be helpful and good principles, I just caution you not to turn Sabbath rest into a legalistic practice. Because then we become just like the Pharisees, just like the religious leaders of Jesus' day, who tried to make Sabbath a place of shame and a place where there were rules that everyone had to keep. That misses the whole point. The point is that it is a day for rest and delight. And in 2025, faces that are exhausted, who doesn't need more rest and delight? Who doesn't need good news that they didn't have to earn their place, that you don't have to work your way in, And so I just invite you, give. If you can give 24 hours, give 24 hours. Get outside. Eat good food. Stop production. Turn off your email. Let the laundry wait. Eat dessert. Eat a second helping of dessert. Sleep in. Take a nap. Lights are going off right when it's time to take a nap. That's perfect. So I'd invite you just to try. And if you struggle, I should reframe that. When you struggle to stop, to slow down, then I invite you to take one step further, and this is our question I want to leave us with today. When you struggle, I'd invite you to reflect on this. What keeps me from living in the rhythm of work and rest? And maybe honestly for you, it is just your life circumstances. That you can't. Single mom working two jobs. And I just want to say, there's no shame in that. There's no shame in not being able to stop and rest. And that's where we as a church need to come in and try to help make sure you have some space to rest. So please let us know. Maybe what keeps you from resting is more internal though. Than it is external. And I would just invite you to be curious about that. Don't judge that. Don't get mad at that. Don't condemn that in you. But just step by step, I just keep inviting you to try. Offer just one little bit of time that you say, yeah, I am going to stop. Because again, I do wonder if you start to stop and recognize that I don't have to earn my place, that it becomes a practice of good news. And who doesn't need more good news? A practice to reminder, you cannot earn the favor of God. Brother, sister, you don't have to earn the favor of God. Let's pray. Jesus, help us to be reminded that we cannot earn your love. And thank you that you did not add a bunch of things for us to go do in order to be reminded of that, but actually said, no, you can stop. Please, by your Spirit, empower us to stop. Maybe to stop today. Or to make a plan to stop next Friday or next Saturday. Please encourage us, strengthen us, help us. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen.